What's up, everybody? My name's Matthew, and welcome to another episode of the Glass House Podcast. I know, don't go talking about me. It's been a minute. It's been a while since we've been on here. But we back. Well, I'm back right now, but we gonna be back. But thank you so much for jumping on. I know it's been some time. I know the first question, before you start getting into my business, ask me like where I've been, what I've been doing. How you doing? Don't be asking me all them questions. I'm good too. I'm straight, cool, calm, copacetic. But no, life been lifing. And I would like to pretend like we took a break. Nah, we just been busy with life. We ain't took no break. We didn't plan to take no break. We had planned to have episodes throughout the rest of the year. But I can't speak about the past. I'm going to speak of where we are. Keenan and I was about to say Keenan and my Cole, which is his wife's name. But I'm Keenan and Alicia. They won't be joining us tonight or joining us today, rather. But I am really excited to be sharing with each of you today. And I hope that you've been extremely well. I hope that life's been good to you. And I hope that everything that you've gone through, you went through it. And if nobody tell you, you look good for all the stuff you've been through. Better yet, let's just add church and you don't look like what you've been through. How about that? All right.
My God.
I am really excited about this episode. It's one that's been in the works for a while now. It is something that folks have been wanting us to talk about. But my particular guest today is someone that I've been was supposed to have on our podcast 3 years ago when we first started. But hey, don't fault me for that. We here now. All right. Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. You see what I did just there? So but he is he is joining us today. And I'm really excited. So I don't really have an introduction to give you. Besides, Desmond Antley is one of my closest friends in this entire world. And I think we'll talk a little bit about how we met a little bit later on. We met in 2018. Was it 18 or 19? 18, right? 18, 2018.
19.
No, wait, it was 18, bro. It was 18. Yeah, I got good memory. Trust me, that was 18.
I'm trying to tell you, it was 19. But you know, go ahead.
You're right. It was your conference. I'm telling you about your conference, right? Was it really 19 for real?
Seriously, because that's during the time I was in a transition during that period. So, yeah, so we met, 19. Matter of fact, in September. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. September 2019. You had a conference and you had put a status on social media about people speaking in the day sessions and someone else tagged me to speak and you invited me to speak on the day session. But the Friday night speaker called out. You called me and said that you were led to invite me to fill in to speak on Friday night. And we've been friends ever since. And I've appreciated your friendship and I'm thankful for who you are and what you've done. And I'm just really, 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 really glad that I know you. So
I'm glad to say the same thing, brother, man, for real. It's just kind of weird, not weird, but it's orchestrated by God, just how things just happen, man. It was like a click. And when we met, it's like we've been talking, like we've been knowing each other for 10 years when we first met. So yeah, it was
that
definitely
is true. That is definitely true. That is definitely true, man. And I'm thankful that you are who you are, and I'm thankful that I've never had to question your friendship. You've been a consistent friend in my life, and I'm thankful because your friendship has gotten me through certain seasons of hardship. Having a friend, and I hope everybody has a Desmond Antley in their life. Somebody that they can lean on with no judgment, no preservation, or no fear or no trepidation about anything, getting out, going out. And we think that good friendships are secret bearers. And oftentimes the measure of a good friendship is not alone someone carrying your secrets, is also somebody to help you carry your burdens. And so so thank you
That's
for
so good.
Your friendship.
True.
And that takes me into what I want to talk about tonight. I keep saying tonight, no people are going to be listening to this in the daytime. But I told you I'm a little rusty. It's been a while.
Right.
I want to talk about something that you and I talked through many times over the years. And I want to talk about overcoming self-doubt. Self-doubt has a way of crippling our ability to make important decisions.
Yes.
but also self-doubt has a way of robbing us of life's best experiences.
Yes.
I can reflect on times in my life where I planned for something to go good and I robbed myself out of the joy of that moment when it happened because I was looking for something to go wrong. And right. And when I reflect on my life and even think about the things that I've been able to do in my life, great moments that were supposed to fester great joy was snatched away because I allowed my own lack of awareness to rob me of the joy that belonged in that place. And so when I think about, you know, what self-doubt is exactly, in its most basic form, self-doubt manifests itself as a lack of confidence in ourselves and our abilities. It's more complex form. Self-doubt can be a state of uncertainty about the truth of anything. Self-doubt varies, man, in its capacities, in incredibly common or some uncommon ways in our mindset, however, it can hold us back from not only achieving what we want,
right,
but it can also cripple us from celebrating when we need to. So you that's know, what Antley's here for, and he's going to help us with that. So let's go. He ready to talk. So let's go.
Yeah. No, like, I mean,
you close to that mic. Can you back up some?
There you all right, bro. See, you know, I'm there used to thinking I'm in the tree. No, but seriously, though, you said so much in so little because I struggled with self-doubt for years. And to be honest, in some forms, I still deal with it in certain areas of my life. I have allowed my inabilities to make decisions for me. I have allowed my insecurities in things in my life to rob the joy out of a good season. One of the things I'm realizing right now in this particular season in my life is that you don't know what's in you until you get into the position. And if you sit there and allow what you cannot see to control the trajectory of your life, you will find yourself suffering and in a place of slavery, mental slavery, and you'll be stuck and can't move anywhere.
Can you further unpack what you just said about what you cannot see? Because oftentimes I think we have an articulation of what fear is, and oftentimes fear is but just an illusion. So can you like further unpack it that is. When you say what you cannot see?
When I say when you cannot see, you begin to develop thoughts in your minds that do not exist. One of the factors of fear is overthinking. And so you begin to overthink and you begin to overanalyze and you begin to make decisions of thoughts and illusions that do not even exist. And when you get to whatever it is, you be like, dang, I didn't know it's nothing like what I thought it was. It's because you allow your mind to sit there and to gather thoughts, to gather illusions, to gather perceptions. Preconceived notions is what I'm looking for. Preconceived notions about things that you haven't even experienced yet. Because nobody has ever, the fear of the unknown is in everybody, but yeah.
Well, yeah, we talk about the fear of the unknown, and I think a little bit about like the times in which all of us overanalyze other people's expectations of us. I've spent so much of my life assuming what people expected from me. I spent so much of my life overanalyzing what I thought people expected of me. By that, I mean, like, when we go through seasons of our lives, when we work a new job, we get a new job, we get a new relationship, there's supposed to be an increase of confidence. However, we exchange that for an increase of self-criticism.
Right.
And we're trying to be who nobody said we had to be. Because when you've gone through as much ish as some of us have gone through.
Ish. Strong on the ish.
We've learned to blend in with people's expectation by substituting that with our performance.
And we lose our creativity and we lose our own power. that we haven't even tapped into because we have lived our lives vicariously through somebody else. And they're
we dummy down what we can do. And let me go and talk about me. Sure. I have gone through some things in my life and some seasons that were positioned to bless me. But I walked away with those seasons being a burden to me. Because the whole time I told myself I wasn't good enough. And if you never soul search the root of why you feel the way you feel, 20 years will go by and you will lose so much happiness. Because we were looking, and the truth is this,
Facts.
The truth is, some of us never got an applause, which has been the reason that we haven't been able to grow. Because we've been looking for people to say thank you. I'm gonna let that go. You have it.
No, that's so good. That's so good because what I found out in my life is
you're a pastor. You don't start pointing the finger and all. Let me tell you something. Go ahead.
Let me tell you. Like, look your hand. Let me tell you this.
And then like every new school pastor, you got the beads because on the right hand and the go. Go ahead.
If you live by the applause, you'll die by the silence.
That's real.
If you live by the applause, you'll die by the silence. So their self-confidence comes not in your high moments, but self-confidence comes when nobody believes in you. When you only have your dream, when you only have what's written down on a piece of paper, when you only have that little ounce of confidence within yourself that, hey, I don't need their approval. I don't need their applause because I'm very confident on what I have on the inside. And when you believe what's on the inside of you and who placed it inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it does not matter the man's perspective. It does not matter the person's perspective. You believe what's in you. And there's a confidence that comes with that. There's a confidence, there's a level of behavior, there's a change of behavior that comes with confidence. And insecure people will perceive confidence as conceit. And there's a difference between confidence and conceit. Because conceit is vain. Confidence is trust.
Well, we can just shut the darn church down.
Man,
like, it's easier said than done when we talk about confidence, bro. To walk in a room and stand 10 toes down about your thinking or your position on a thing, and then to go in that room and hear 15 other people talk different, opposite of your opinion, and you still walk out with your opinion intact, that's a lot. And it's not because you lacked confidence when you went in. Oftentimes, we never believed that we were good enough in the beginning. So that's how come we're so easily persuaded that what we thought was stupid the whole time. And the root of some of our pain, and if you listen to this episode, there can be a few causes, I think, to people having a lack of confidence, which results into doubting yourself. So let's talk about doubting yourself for a second. That doubting yourself is, I want to do this. Oh, never mind. It's not going to be a good idea. Oh, I think I want to do this. No, never mind. Nobody going to listen to that. I think I want to start writing a blog. Oh, nobody going to read that. Go ahead.
Right. I think a part of self-doubt, a great deal of self-doubt, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it comes from a lack of affirmation.
You know, you said that, and I thought immediately when you said a lack of affirmation, I thought people who say this, you ready? Oh, I'm just indecisive.
Nah.
Some people are indecisive listening to this podcast because you were in a relationship for 5 years and he made you think that your thinking was stupid.
Yes.
Some people are and that indecisiveness is really a measure of doubt because your mama told you, oh, you dumb. You ain't nothing. Your thoughts don't matter. Right. And at the core, the doubt that we have is through our thinking. Before it's ever manifested in our actions, we kill it in the thought process. See, we kill it before it gets. And the truth is, before it gets to your head, it often manifests through your heart. And so before it goes from your head, it goes from your heart to your head to your hands, but we never get it in our hands because we've been postured to believe that our thinking doesn't matter. And so we've got parents in our lives who tell us, oh, that's dumb. You shouldn't go to that college. Right. When we sow seeds like that, we plant trees that will never be able to fully grow, that will not make it through every season.
And hurt people hurt people.
You're right. Like, I don't think that the people that genuinely loved us had intentions to genuinely hurt us. For instance, relationships with our parents, right? Like, true. Some of our parents really did the best they could with us. And as great as they did a great deal of it, no parent is perfect and they missed some opportunities. And I'm pretty certain that my mom, who raised my sisters and I, I recently had a conversation with one of my sisters, and she was talking about how my mom often would say that I was the only boy, I was the smartest kid, I would turn out to be something. And she was talking about how the things that she hasn't been able to accomplish was because all our lives, my mom has always made it seem like I would be the only one to turn out to be something. Mm. And so she traced back some of her inability to be successful in certain areas with the fact that the seeds were sown that what she thought or what she wanted would never compare to who my mama compared her to, which was me.
Right.
Did that make sense? Wow.
That's perfect.
When we run it back, you have parents who had good intentions and who meant genuinely well things. But if we're not careful, we will fuck some people up. Like, that is the truth. Yeah. Like, we will, our
environment.
Hurt,
yeah. Yeah.
It translates through our communication. Sure. And that gets in people's mind, bro. But go ahead.
No. And to even extend what you're saying, even from my parents' standpoint, how it transfers, it's all down a bloodline. And also, environment shapes the way you think. Yeah. Where you live, who you're around, shapes the way that you think. And therefore, because you spend a great deal of time and investment around those things and those people, it automatically overtakes your thinking that, okay, I can't get nowhere beyond South Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, this is the way it is. And there's a whole world outside of where you live. And so therefore, when we embrace those kind of thinkings, to further extend what you're saying, it's not intentional. Sometimes it's just where they were.
I think we also got to be careful, bro. I think we also got to be careful, bro, with imposter syndrome a little bit. Mm. For my man, when I first started preaching in church, I talked about this on an earlier episode.
Yeah.
For like from 15 to 20, I was trying to be what I thought other people wanted from me. Whew. I was trying to be Clarence McClendon. I had my healing season. I was trying to be Marvin Sapp. I had my shout yes season. I was trying to be everybody but me. There's a difference between inspiration and duplication.
Sure.
We see people who do things well, and we desire to do those things just as well. But what God, and I'm going to get churchy, what God is not calling of you is to duplicate your life to be what that person is. You can never compare your chapter 5 to somebody else's chapter 20. Absolutely. And a lot of the pressure on our lives are really traced back to the fact that we're not who they are.
Yeah.
And we are afraid to open our mouths because we haven't mastered pretending to be them. So some things we don't do because we don't do it like them.
Right.
And at 27 years old, bro, I'm realizing that Matthew Grady is enough the way he is.
And to be honest, I hate to cut you off there, bro.
No, go ahead. You know how I'm just here.
No, seriously, man, because this is helping. Because you know how many individuals in our calling, in our field with ministry, you know how many pastors are in their 50s and 60s that are still trying to be like somebody else?
Yeah.
That still have not been able to master the fullness of who they are. And it's so, and the reason why some of them don't want to embrace who they really authentically are is because they've been painting a false image for so many years that they don't know how individuals would accept the real them. And I feel like at 27,
No, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No, and I feel like I can honestly relate because I started preaching at 6. So at 6, I was from 6 to the age about, I would say, 15. I was not a carbon copy, but I was trying to be like my father in the Lord. You know, I was trying to preach like him. You know, I was acting old at a young age. And I realized one day when I recently, like 2 years ago during the pandemic, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I've been opening up, but it took some life experiences for me to realize, like, hey, who is Desmond?
Yeah.
Who is that? And it was a painful thought, Matt, because I never embraced it.
Yeah.
I never thought it. So when I finally opened up and realized, like, who is Desmond? And what is Desmond doing? He's pleasing everybody else and never tapping into what's in him.
When you say you're pleasing everybody else, what does that mean to you? When you say you're pleasing everybody else, what does that mean to you?
I'm doing what's making them happy.
Like what?
Funding their vision. Absolutely. As in giving everything or boxing myself in to make them comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, being cautious, walking on eggshells.
Boxing yourself in, bro. Does that mean that there were seasons of your life where you diminished how good you were at a thing to make other people feel better about themselves?
Oh, absolutely. 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 There were times when I would not do certain things because I knew I would get a good reaction or I would get a well receptive and I didn't want to cause any friction. I didn't want to cause any friction. I didn't want to cause any sense of jealousy or discord because I wanted to, at that time, ignorantly, I was feeding their insecurity.
I appreciate that vulnerability, bro. And there were times in my own life, I think about me not speaking up because it would show that I put in the work. There is, if you're listening today and this show episode, there have been times where I didn't raise my hand because it would have showed I studied.
Yeah.
There's times where I didn't speak up because it would have showed that I actually took time to learn the content. Why? Because I hear in the back of my head, you think you're better than everybody else. I hear in the back of my head, oh, you think because you can do that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you put in the work, you ought to be able to celebrate the work that you've done and the results of that success.
That's so true. And what I found out, bro, is that the longer you box yourself in, you lessen your creativity.
That's important.
You lessen the power that's really in you.
Because we're naturally creative people, right?
Absolutely.
Like all of us have a creative ability. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just was thinking like we're just naturally creative. No.
Absolutely, because there was a season of my life where I couldn't open my iPad and creatively put a sermon together. There was a time where I could not go to work and think of brilliant ideas to make something come together for the department because of where I placed, because I boxed myself and I was eventually feeding somebody else's insecurity, but I was starving at the same time and dying on the inside, and it hurt more than it did help. And then you feel guilty.
Don't go past that. You just say you were starving on the inside. You can't just say that and not like explain that. Like, say that and just not like explain what you just said. Like that wasn't good.
Man, nah, man. It just, I was starving on the inside because I'm going to be honest with you right now. I passed up great opportunities just because I was worried about what somebody or somebody would think or how they would feel. And I knew that's where I knew, even if it's not where I was supposed to be, but I knew it was a great opportunity. And I want to tell whoever's listening, man, don't forsake your future because of somebody else's rejected future.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm done. We good. We good. No, we good. We straight. We good. We good. That's it for me. Lord, I thank you. That's it for me. Go ahead on. Do you?
No.
Just take,
man,
over the pocket. Don't, it's don't. Yours. Just have it. The glass. Just have it. You don't want me on here no way. Just go ahead on. Do your thing. Do you? Bye. Do you?
Yo, this is legit how we act on the phone. But, you know, don't forsake your future because of somebody else's rejected future. Don't sit there and box yourself in because seeing you boxed in is giving them freedom in their own rejection.
Man,
when something is given to you, when something is in your hand, trust God and take flight. You know, man. And I don't want to spirit. You know, I am a preacher at heart, of course, but I love God wholeheartedly. But I want to tell you, like, God is just waiting on you to walk, and He'll catch you. All you got to do is walk. All you got to do is just trust it. And getting to the process of taking that leap is probably the hardest season that you will ever experience. It's probably the most, it will enhance your self-doubt. It will enhance your insecurity. It will enhance your inabilities, but also it'll enhance your strength. Because once you do it the first time, your confidence level goes to another level,
man.
And then there is nothing that the enemy or what we call quote unquote haters. I hate that word, but what they would do, because you understand that you can trust the timing and you can trust the hand of God to take the leap of faith. So whatever the business plan may be, there is no such thing as failures. It's called lessons. It's no loss.
That's why lesson. I think, like, man, I appreciate that. That is why I think that a lot of us talk ourselves out of things because we're scared we're going to fail. Like, that's why, that's why come some of y'all ain't applied for the job yet. Because you're afraid of the no. For every no, there is a better yes.
That's how come. Before I got where I am right now, bro, it was God. Of course, you know, where I am right now is totally a God thing, a God move. But before I got where I was, I received at least 10 emails back to back from jobs that I applied to that says, nah, we're going to go with somebody else in the department. Or no, thank you for your application. Your qualifications don't meet
you
this
ain't everybody
job requirement.
Big. If not, you was for everybody, you would have nothing for you. If every job you applied for you got, what time would you have for you? If you had everything you ever wanted, then what would you have learned from the no that you got that prepared you for what you needed? Because sometimes the greatest deal of no is really not yet or not yours. It depends on how you see the no. Some no's are not yours. Some no's are not yet.
Yeah.
But we don't really, some of us don't even get to that point because we just tell ourselves, no, that's not my job. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to. You and I were talking on the phone earlier and I told you about this opportunity that I've been waiting for since September. The opportunity came open 4 days ago and I still haven't taken it yet. It's pretty much mine, but I haven't even taken it because the description of the opportunity describes something I hadn't done yet. Come on, man. And because I've never done it, go ahead.
And you are it before you're it.
All right, I'm done. Do you?
you are it before you're it. So before you even get into the position, you're already equipped with from your previous experiences, even the ones that don't even, you don't think is meet the qualification of what you're going for. It has prepared you for what's next.
Man, that is.
You're it before you're it.
Like we don't realize we've been crafted for our callings. We've been wired for our work. And if there's anybody searching for purpose, I promise you, most of the time, your purpose is connected to your pursuit of not the nose, but your purpose is connected to the pursuit of what's already in your heart.
Yeah.
It's been planted there already. Like it's already in you. Yeah. Like your passion ain't passion for no reason. Sometimes passion can pay you. And sometimes passion can fulfill you, but oftentimes we don't do it. We don't write the book because we think nobody gonna read it. We don't record the podcast because we think nobody gonna listen to it. We don't type the blog because we think nobody gonna be able to connect to it. We don't sing the song because we think that that person's voice sounds better than our voice. We don't write the Facebook post because the last one got 5 likes and the other one got 200. And we think that people's response alone garnishes our efforts to move forward. You are good enough before you even do what's in your heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There will never know
until you get into it.
Like when the next time you want to do something that's in your heart and your mind tells you no, do it anyway. Now, I'm not talking about if he keeps slapping you in the head, keep going back to him. That's just dumb.
That is stupid.
If there is a pursuit of purpose or something that you want to do in your life, take the risk. Bet on you every time. There are 4 signs of self-doubt and that I want to talk about real quick before we get out of here. The first signs, I believe, the self-doubt, and I've been thinking through this since we talked about recording this. Is one, you can never accept compliments from others and you can't give yourself credit for anything. That is one way that people are reflective of self-doubt. Number 2, you consistently seek reassurance. Let me give you an example. So let me give you an example. Number 1, you can't accept compliments. Oh, you did a good job today. Oh, no, that wasn't even me. I did my best. I tried to do my best. That was all I knew how to do. I hope that was good enough. You saw what you just did? You just tried to convince the other person that whether they think it was good or bad, that was your best. Because you have already classified in your mind whether your best was good to other people or not. Your best was what you had to give. And their response based upon your best will determine if that was really your best. And you said, I hope you enjoy. You were trying to basically get them to reassure what you assumed was your best. In all those sentences, you just reaffirmed how you doubted your inability to be able to perform or to do what it is you said you would do. I'm in my bag today.
Bro, so I can't say nothing. Go ahead.
It's true because we did it as young preachers. We did it as young preachers. Oh, that was a good sermon. Oh, to God be the glory. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Yeah. The Lord used me. No, didn't you prepare and study for it?
Like, hey, Matt, It's him.
It ain't me. It's him. It's the man upstairs. No, dummy, it's you too. Like, you know, like, or you
were the vessel.
Yeah, he used me, right? Like you consistently seek reassurance. And so let me tell you how you do that. Because when you're about to make a decision, you ask 15 people what they think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, okay, so I remember when I went to go get my first car. I had a 2000 Honda Accord. It had a bad paint job. The engine was blocked and it was white smoke on the highway 5 minutes into me driving the car every single time. I had to get on the side of the road, wait till the car cooled down and drive. To buy that piece of car, I called 20 people about buying it.
They gave me their buy that piece of what?
This is the glass house, and I'm gonna tell you now. This ain't no church podcast, and I don't think you don't understand.
Like, don't bypass that. Like you just did not try to say it.
No, I mean you a pastor, so I'm not trying to do you wrong, but I'm just saying.
Do as the Romans do.
to buy that car, I called 20 people, and guess what? None of them 20 people met me at the car dealership to buy that piece of car. Didn't nobody meet me there? They wasn't there. We ask people for their opinion and they can't substitute with money. They can't Now, granted, some people's opinion you value, but why you got to call 15 people when you thinking about getting back with buddy? He wasn't before and he ain't going to be now. 15 people can't change your mind about that. So we constantly, I mean, see, you messing me up. You can't accept compliments from other people. You might have to come back on here one day.
Dude, we have to break these down. Actually, this is going to be, I'm letting you know right now, I'm using this as a series for a sermon. I just want you to understand that.
Gotcha. Well, you know, he's about to be a full-time pastor now. See, everything's a sermon to him.
Absolutely. Try to think. You think about these mustard heads.
You consistently think
about these mustard heads.
Really? And yes. And I think number three, you have low self-esteem. Okay, so I'm gonna help you, and you gonna, Antley, I think you can ready get into this like me. I remember sometimes I would go and speak at churches. People would give their life to the Lord. People would confess their faith.
Right.
And I would go home and I would cry. I would cry not because we had a good time. I would cry because I felt like that wasn't enough. Because there was something more I should have said. Or because I didn't explain that well enough. Or the crowd didn't respond immediately. I would be so, I spoke at a church. This was years ago. I mean, years ago. And I'm honestly, this is crazy. I'm thinking about this. Mm-hmm. I spoke at a church years ago, and it was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You know exactly what church I'm talking about.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
I spoke, and I remember it was such a powerful time. It had no influence of my own. It was literally a powerful time. And I remember going in the office after, like, while the service was still going on, the spirit was high, people were moving, you know, young people were professing their faith. And I got on my knees. My pastor was with me and another friend of mine was with me. And I cried for 20 minutes. And I just said, God, thank you for using me. But I really disappointed you. To this day, and I'm going to cry, I was happy that people gave their life to God. But for some reason, I felt that God was disappointed with me. Because I felt like I had more that I wasn't able to give. Or I felt as if though what I was giving wasn't everything I had to give. Because at that point, we had a good time. But didn't nobody at that point tell me good job? I gotta leave, y'all.
Bro, you know the strangest thing I discovered? And I will never understand it. I will never understand it. Now we all,
man, you got me about to cry. You got me about to cry.
No, for real. All preachers have had bad days. But the times that I felt the most insufficient, the times that I felt that it was the absolute worst sermon I ever gave, somebody would come to me and be like, that was exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And I'll go in my car and I'll be like, God, it's like no matter how many compliments or how many people said this or how much it meant in my heart, I felt like I did not do what was just.
Because I think we're always feeling like we're not purposeful if we're not fulfilling somebody else's need.
Absolutely.
It's not until somebody because said what that helps was for us. Me that we get it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That we get. And sometimes, bro, because you share that same heart, our gratification comes from knowing that we helped or that's knowing right. that somebody's life was transformed. It's not so much of a good job. I mean, you can tell a dog that. But the hours that I labored for this, the heart that I put into it, the passion that I exude in this, is for the hopes that when you leave here, that you're going to ultimately make a decision to change the rest of your life, to ultimately say, you know what, it makes sense. Or, you know what, I got my answer today. I got what I needed. And when it's not heard, I struggle still to this day with silent confirmations. I'll say it that way. Like, I needed that. Because when I finish, it's like, it's in hopes. Like, I hope. Because I am so well past that thing of preaching to take a house. It don't edify. it ultimately really doesn't glorify. It just mechanics.
Yeah.
But what helps me to go to sleep at night is knowing that, hey, somebody can go to sleep at night knowing that they got a word from God and they change their life forever.
Part of that's so connected, bro. I appreciate that. Part of that's so connected to our performance of a thing, right? And so I think in order to successfully overcome or to even strive towards overcoming self-doubt, we got to start first practicing self-compassion. When we doubt ourselves, we're really holding ourselves back. It arises from the fear of making a mistake. But mistakes are how we grow. And it's how we improve our abilities. We have to look ourselves in the mirror and say three positive affirmations to begin our day. You're enough. You matter. You are loved. You're enough. You matter. You are loved. First way is, of course, I said, practice compassion. I think another thing that's helped me is think about past achievements. Right, bro? Self-reflection is a fantastic tool. It reminds us that we are capable of what we want to achieve. When we remember what we've done, it reminds us that we have the capacity to do it again or do it even greater. But living in the past can take away from the present moment. Learning from what's happened, not dwelling on the bad and focusing and using the lessons that we've learned from the times to improve the present is what really truly matters. And then the third thing that's helped me is I try not to compare myself to other people. Doubt arises when we try to measure up against family members and colleagues and or celebrities. Everyone's life is different and someone else's excelling doesn't mean that you don't have any strengths. Instead of comparing yourself to other people, man, focus on yourself. It's one of the best ways that I think that helps us stay happy. Another way that's been helping me through my self-doubt is I spend time with supportive people. The reason why some of y'all ain't got no peace because y'all keep hanging
that with is so good.
Can hate us. That's why you keep hanging with people who you can't trust.
Absolutely.
You and I were talking through that earlier, bro. Like, I'm going to let you do that part, though. But we were talking through that earlier.
It's so important,
We let people spit in our face and tell us it's raining. I be damned. That ain't happening to me no more. I done learned my lesson. I'm sorry.
No, for real, because supportive people is so important. And you cannot be bothered by who does not support you. You cannot be frazzled. You cannot change who you are by who you expect to support you that doesn't support you. If anything I'm learning in this season of my life right now, support, your greatest support will come from people you never met. Your greatest push, your greatest supporters, your greatest people that will affirm you are individuals you have no clue where they came from. They don't know you. You don't know them. And making sure that you have those individuals that support you, not necessarily yes men at all, but people that actually believe in the authentic you, that believe in what you bring.
I know we talked about this like on the phone, but I want to bring it to, and we're way past time, but I just feel like, you know, we were supposed to do this like 3 years ago. So we just like long overdue at this point.
Yeah, you had a lot of making up to do. Yeah.
When we say spend time with supportive people, man, being around people who put us down is one of the worst things for our mental health. Some people won't support you, but others absolutely will. Spend your time with people who make you feel good about being you. And some of y'all don't realize it, but you got people in your life who be hating on you. I can't think of no other way to accurately articulate that.
Absolutely.
Every time you bring up something, you do, oh, that's not really a good idea. I think you should do this. Or, oh, you know what? That's too much for you right now. Maybe, you know, I think that because of my own experience that that's not a bad idea. That's not come you ain't with your man no more because she wanted your man. And so she talked you out of not having your man so she could try to get your man.
And then also subliminally doing things behind your back.
Come on. Go ahead. Explain. Tell it. Tell it, Pastor. Tell it like it is.
No, like these individuals that will have these secret conversations behind your back with your enemy. Yeah. And they would do things to like to set you up, or to not even, they can't even, first of all, they can't even openly support you because they're talking to your enemy. And it's people that you've invested your life with. These are individuals that you have been inspired by, that you're moved by, that you've been motivated by, and they turn around and do something like this, you know? Matt, you know, supportive people is not many, but it's enough. It's not going to be many, but it's enough. And you always have to know that, you always have to know that it's lonely at the top. It's lonely at the top. So
we think we need a lot of people to celebrate our wins. We need a lot of people around us, a lot of people like that we text every day, a lot of people that we contact every day. But man, we got to hold on to people in our lives, or even gravitate to people in our lives who want to be better for themselves. Mm-hmm. And part of that is also being around people who aren't trying to go the same way you're trying to go. But I want you to know that the road is big enough for all of us. You know, like the success, your success is not my success, and my success is not your success. And if I have to find people who work in different professions because you and me working in the same profession causes us to not align with agreement or be friends, then you're not supposed to be my friend anyway. I don't have to alter my desires and my purpose because you feel like you've been called to the same purpose. You didn't create podcasts. Man. I could make my own podcast. Like, oh, she doing it, so I'm not going to do it. He doing it because I'm not going to do it.
I'm glad you said that, Matt, because I just thought about something. One of the underlining issues or underlining support to self-doubt is, well, to jealousy is self-doubt. When you live in self-doubt and you accept self-doubt, ultimately you become jealous of other people and you begin to compare yourself. So don't be that person.
Because we're telling ourselves, bro, like we're telling ourselves, they got it, I don't.
Yeah.
They got the house, I don't got the house. They got the car, I don't got the car. They got the marriage, I don't got the marriage. They got happiness, I don't got happiness. I had kids young. They had kids at a later time. So they had more time to prepare for the future. They had more time to go to college. They had more time to achieve this. They had more time to achieve that. They went to college, I didn't go to college. I went out of high school, I worked the same job 7 years. They worked the same job for a year. They've been promoted faster than I've been promoted. So we're always looking around the corner to see who did it better. If you look around the corner for duplication, you'll never get to destination. You have to look around the corner for inspiration, not duplication.
Yeah, absolutely. Because duplication will never produce future. It'll only produce cycles.
But I think all of us need to know that fear is a part of the future, man. Like if you heard nothing else we said, do it scared, bro. I got in a 2013 Ford Fusion. I drove 1,001 mile away to Illinois, where I had never been my entire life. Not just because I applied for the job. You wouldn't think I was scared? I knew no one here. Bro. Not a single person here I knew. I didn't know a friend, a neighbor, my aunt, God rest her soul, who was killed back in May. She lived in southern Illinois, in East St. Louis, Illinois. She's going on to be with Jesus now. I'd never even been here to visit her. I didn't even go there until she passed away and I had a chance to go and visit her family there. But I knew no one and I was completely scared. And life's going to be a lot more than just buying a new car and moving to a new city or going to the car lot knowing you don't have enough to put down. Life's greatest challenges will come with fear. And fear is not your opposition. Fear is your opportunity. And if you only see
that's so
fear,
good.
Go ahead.
No, that's so good. Because when fear comes, you ultimately have a decision of what you allow fear to serve in your life. You either allow it to serve You'll either allow it to serve as a optic of staying stuck or optic of moving forward. I tell people all the time, if your future does not scare you, then it's not God. If your plans do not scare you, if they don't make you not go to sleep at night, then you need to go back to the drawing board. Absolutely need to go back to the drawing board. So you have a choice as to what you will accept and allow fear to serve as.
Do it scared, man. Do it scared. Like, you got to do it scared, man, because on the other side of that fear is a future.
It produces humbleness.
Possibly, man, yeah. it reminds you that as much as you prepared for a thing, you still need some reliance on something in order to keep it, or in order to keep you together when you get there. Our inability to doubt ourselves, our ability to doubt ourselves robs us of our ability to possibly succeed and experience the best life we can. Everything in life ain't about cars, clothes, and money. Yeah. Some things in life is about the fact that you brought that expensive bed and you can sleep in it, or you got them pillows and you can lay down on them. I hope that whoever listened to this today, and whenever, in whatever season that you listen to this episode, I hope you roll back the doubt and pull up the confidence. I hope that if you listen to this episode, for every thought that told you that you're not enough, every time that you felt that that was a bad idea, I hope that as you finish this year off strong and as you go into this year, whenever you're listening to this, I hope that you will remember that you matter. And I hope that you would know that everything you need is already in you. And if you're trying to go viral, for some reason, whenever the goal seems to be on people's response alone, we never really get the gratification once it lands, because it never lands like we're supposed to. And so if you're like waiting for this pompous moment to occur, it may never happen.
Right.
But be so consistent about what you put out and the product that you put, that when it's time for you to be discovered, man, oh man, you already going to have a catalog of putting in that work.
Right.
Like, you already going to have evidence. That's like somebody saying right now, oh, you're a speechwriter, send me 5 speeches. I'll pull up this iPad, boy, and I'm going to pull up 5 of my best speeches that I wrote, even when nobody ever said them, because I got them still, right? Yeah. Like, we were doing it earlier, talking about sermons. And so, man, thank you for joining this episode. But I know I told you 30 minutes has been
50. No, it's cool because when you overcome self-doubt, and when you surpass self-doubt, and this wasn't always my case, but for many, when you overcome self-doubt, it becomes even more easier to celebrate others. And it's not hard for me to celebrate you, Matt, because I've always told you, and I'll tell you again, I think you are one of America's, if not the world's, one of the world's greatest voices ever. That would ever grace this planet. America at its largest should be appreciative that you are, that they are alive during the time of Matthew Grady. You're brilliant. You're creative. You're anointed. You are, you have so many different creativities and abilities and gifts that you have not even unlocked yet. There's so much inside of you that has not even been possessed to the world yet. And the little bit that you have possessed has transformed thousands of lives. And I always tell you, you're absolutely one of my absolute favorite preachers. You're absolutely one of my favorite people. I know I can come to you about anything, and I know I can get the real, and I know you'll also make sense out of the nonsense that I am experiencing. And I want to thank you publicly. I'd tell you that privately, but I want to do that publicly from my heart, because sometimes being so gifted, you can doubt your own self. But this guy right here in South Carolina, you made a great transformation, a change in his life within the past 3 years, 3.5, 4 years.
If your goal to get me to cry, you can stop now, because you almost
No. Seriously. We've both been in each other's lives for so many different seasons. And neither one of us have judged each other at all. But I want to say thank you for being that friend. Thank you for being my friend, man. Words. Yeah.
Man, I appreciate thank you for being my friend. Thank you for your kind words, bro. He not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. This weekend, whenever you listen to this podcast, Desmond Antley is getting ready to accept a call at a very important season of his life to lead a church in South Carolina. And I'm really excited to, if the Lord let me live, I'll be there to see it. There's no distance, no time, no space that I won't travel to be there. If I have $5 to my name, thank God I don't. If I have $5 to my name, I was going to be in South Carolina in Allendale to witness you accept that call to that ministry. You've been called for that, to that congregation. So much success to you, bro. Yeah. Thank you for being my friend.
Absolutely.
We got to bring them back, y'all. We got to do this again. We've been talking about doing this episode for a while. And man, if you're here, you're enough. If you made it to 55 minutes of this episode, you're enough.
You are enough. More than enough. You're stronger. You're stronger than you realize.
Because you made the 55 minutes, us just talking. But seriously, man, thank you for another episode. And I hope on your darkest days, you look up and you remember not just the people that you influence, but the person that you want to be in the world and the things that you're capable of doing. You are your best self when you're you. And when you show up, you're going to always show out, because that's what you do.
I know we're finished, but I wouldn't be myself, but I feel led to pray. I don't know if y'all do that on the glass house.
We ain't never prayed on the glass house, but we got a pastor today, so you might as well pray.
We're gonna pray today. No, I really do. I felt led to pray for somebody that's in a place in their life where they're trying to find out what their purpose is. And
this is when Miles is supposed to cue the slow piano music. I'm just letting him know when he edited to put the slow
No,
Miles, do a little organ too. So go ahead, Anthony.
A little strings. But no, I want to pray really quickly for you, because I want you to understand that your life is not over, that there is so much more to your life. The reason why you keep waking up in the morning is because there's more for you, and there is purpose lie ahead for you. And I pray that even through this podcast and through this prayer, that you will make ultimately the best decision of your life, and that you will step out and that you will do what is purpose for you to do. And with no regrets, succeed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister. Father, I thank you for the plans that you have for their life. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will lead them, guide them. But most of all, Father, give them grace to trust you, grace to believe, grace to step out on faith, to step out and make the decision. Father, I pray that whoever is listening to me, Father, that you would give them the reassurance that, lo, you'll always be with them even until the end of the earth. Father, I pray now that you would give them courage, that you would give them strength to press on, to live to see another day. And Father, I thank you, because they will be successful. They will experience the greater that you have for them. And most of all, Father, that they will be all that you have created them to be. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let everybody say hey. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Everybody say
Hey.
You had me do a little run. Hey, amen.
Like, no.
No, seriously.
You got to do your boy Marvin Sapp, man.
Wait a minute. I got to close him. I got to let y'all go.
Oh, my God.
But won't he do it? All right, we got to go. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode. Man. If y'all enjoyed this, we only ask that you do one thing as always, and that is to share it with someone who you think it could help. Share it with someone, send it to them. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Glass House Podcast. We back, baby. Desmond Antley, my brother, I will see you this weekend. I will see you Saturday, actually. Yes, and I am so excited. Saturday. Maybe I'll see you Friday. That's supposed to come Friday, too. I don't
Friday.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. Friday. Thank you.
I don't know.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I'm planning on wearing the same suit three times, so I don't know if I want to see you that many times. But thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Glass House Podcast. We'll catch you out here in these streets. We'll see you another time. Until then, I hope that you get everything your heart desires. And I'll see you another side. See you next week, fam. Peace.